Hello everyone, and welcome to Charlotte View. I'm your presenter Daniel, and I'm here with your host Claudia Pareco. Every week, we feature innovative, wholehearted, and inspiring thought leaders and businesses. Throughout our higher-ranked shows, you and your loved ones will experience an influx of eye-opening information, profound inspiration, compassionate counseling, advanced spirituality, pertinent advice, and loving guidance. Just tune in, live or on demand, and share, share, share. Our shows are held on Mondays and Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern U.S. Time, 9 a.m. Pacific. At any moment to participate on our shows, please call 805-830-8344 and press 1 to talk with the host. Charlotte View provides the platform to a diverse array of guests, national and international, authors, musicians, nonprofits, social workers, psychics, healers, small businesses, retreats, you name it, who are joining forces to change the world from inside out, from their areas of expertise. If you have something to say, we have the audience for it. All interviews are easily found in all social media and are available free, on demand, for anyone who wishes to further their knowledge and to transform their lives. Host a show and get your name in the game referred as podcasting. Lead with Charlotte View on new media content revolution that is empowering individuals like you with the ability to globally distribute their ideas and create a following of like-minded fans. To request a show, please write to info@charlotteview.net or visit our website, charlotteview.net. Now, enjoy the episode of the day.
Hello there. My name is Stephanie Finn, and we thought the nicest way to start today's broadcast was by me reading one of the 100 poems from my new book called Let the Love Light In. So I'm just going to go right ahead and read this one. It's called The Way Shower. I chose this one to read because of its power and its beauty, and you will see just by listening to these words. So I invite you to just sit back and relax. Perhaps take a nice deep breath and simply let these words wash over you on this beautiful afternoon. The Way Shower. Standing at the crossroads, clouded with despair, rooted in complication, springing forth from fear, you stood in trepidation. There was no way out of here, no way to see tomorrow through thoughts of deep despair. But standing on the horizon, in a place of warmth and care, there stood a brilliant angel to guide you out of here. She lit a light in darkness. She told you not to fear. She told you of another way to make your mind but clear. There is no time but present to sit with your despair, to cool your jets in silence and watch them disappear. The light of brilliance standing, your time to know it near. Don't wait until tomorrow, my child. The time is now and here. Fear not, said the angel. Her words, they were so dear. Fear began to soften, the clutches not so near. As you knew without a single doubt, the light would heal your fear. You are here to save the world, said the shining light so near. Too brilliant to ignore, too happy to despair. Don't wait until tomorrow, for the time is now and here. Hi, Claudia, are you there?
Yes, I am. And that was beautiful. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking as you were reading those words is the sense of responsibility that you must have after receiving those messages and what to do with them. So I would love if you would explain to us, Stephanie, how is it that the angels channel this information to you and what it meant to you?
Right. That's a very pertinent statement and question. Because since this happened to me back in May, and of course it's been an ongoing journey, it started in May and it hasn't stopped since. So since this all started, this opened up a portal through which all this energy and love and divine wisdom and light began flowing through. And it really hasn't, you know, it hasn't stopped. And I'm navigating all this new energy. So just to give you a little bit of history, because I've shared this story now many times, but I'm just going to give, for anybody that hasn't heard what actually happened, hasn't heard my story, I'm going to share that briefly. In May of this year, so May of 2017, I had hosted a spiritual retreat in Newfoundland, which is in Canada. It's an island in Canada. And as I was driving, it was a very successful weekend. It was a beautiful retreat. You know, we were meditating. We were doing classes in A Course in Miracles, et cetera. So as I was driving back from Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, to St. John's, Newfoundland, I began to experience a sensation around the crown of my head through which I was feeling an experience of tender bliss flow in through my crown chakra. And I was just enjoying the feeling and the sensation. And I was also receiving images and or images of crystals, like crystal grids, and experiencing a lot of love light. And also snippets of information were coming to me of a spiritual nature. Once I came back to St. John's, I was having tea with a friend one evening, and I mentioned to her that I felt as though I was on the precipice of something. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew that something big and profound was happening and was going to happen. So later on that month, May the 24th, I went to bed and went to sleep, and I woke up at 3 a.m. hearing a series of short sentences come to me, and that I heard several words that night. I heard several sentences. It started off with, I was given the five key principles of life, which included meditate your mantra, express yourself accordingly, give darkness up to light, give your live, and then I heard the words, become the way shower. And as soon as I heard those words, become the way shower, everything changed, and my life hasn't been the same since. So I continue to hear short sentences, and they were coming so rapidly that I had to get up, of course, and start writing them down. So I started texting myself all these short sentences, and the next morning when I got up after 4 hours of doing this nonstop, I had, of course, emailed all these sentences to myself, and I got up and I had 25 emails in my inbox, each containing countless short sentences. So my job was to, like a jigsaw puzzle, my job was to take these sentences and piece them together into stanzas, which in turn became poems, which after 5 days, I had written 100 poems, and they had became a book called Let the Love Light In. So this was a profound experience, as you can imagine. I was receiving these poems all throughout the day. Like at one point, I was talking to my mom, and I told her I had written 50 poems in one day. And then the next day, I called her back and I said I wrote 50 more poems. I mean, you know, or a couple of days later, it was just profound. It was unbelievable. These poems were coming obviously through me. They weren't coming from me. They were brand new to me. And it was told to me that they were coming from the plains of distant shores where mighty angels reside. So I'm just going to read the back book cover of the book just to give you a synopsis of what it's all about. And, of course, the back book cover was given to me as well. After the 100 poems were channeled, the angels gave me the back book cover, which was going to be used, you know, as the intro and the back book cover of the book. So it says, this book is from the plains of distant shores where mighty angels reside. They've come to help the ones who have found their way here now. Stephanie is just the vessel through which our love has found your attention in this moment in which our love abounds. Falter not in this desperate state of tired and shaky stead. This information will be astounding if you let it penetrate your mind. So open up and let it do what it's intended to. This book contains the new codes coming forth to lighten up your load of sorry nights and faulty flights and major overload. Let the love light in, the mighty angels.
Wow, I'm speechless because you know what I was thinking? I have had many authors come to the show, to Charlotte View, to promote their books. And most of them will talk about months or years into having something publishable. And even when they want to publish, they encounter all these blocks or limitations or situations. And I'm thinking, you got 100 poems in 2 days, and in less than a year, well, less than half a year, you have it already published, available in Amazon, and being out in the world. And that, to me, is guided. It's something that the other side wants it here now. They could not wait for that, for you to go through all the troubles. So, again, the responsibility that you must feel, or the what do I do with this precious jewel, this precious jewel that I have with me, what do I do with it? I wonder if you had that question, and what have you found the book helps you with?
Yes. What to do with it is really the biggest, issue or challenge or question. And I've asked myself that many times, but the underlying feeling behind that question was always that I was going to be guided in this moment. I was just going to be guided. And the most important thing for me, as the angel said to me, was let the love light in. So they said, we want to give you messages and books. This apparently is going to be the first of several books. But they said they want to give me, and I guess us, messages and books, but they said the biggest thing they want to give us is the love light. And so I feel that my only responsibility right now is to let go of my immediate thoughts in the moment and let the love light in. And I will be guided in each and every moment. They told me that these books were not just for me, and that I would be guided. They said that my opportunities would come to me, and that my only responsibility was to bask in the love. Let the love light in. Work with it, whirl with it, bask in it. All your opportunities will come to you. And this can be the most challenging part as human beings, in this world, is to be willing to surrender to our destiny, surrender to the plan that is surely laid out for us. They also told me that this was my destiny through time and space, and that I wasn't going to want to miss it. They said, tune in. You're not going to want to miss it.
One of the things that you said, let the love light in. And one of the things that I have encountered or thought about is the word love, and how love light is, it encompasses a consciousness. It's not just the word. It's not just the feeling. It's a consciousness that is love,
right,
which in our limited words, we cannot even begin to define what love is, because love is a consciousness that makes things happen. It manifests itself and it grows regardless of what we think about it. But when you let the love light in, it's this opening of your awareness, of your gifts, of your life that happens in the instant.
Right.
I'm wondering,
yes,
have you seen this opening of the minds of people that listen to the poems in there?
Well, yes, I have. I can speak in several different ways about that with myself. You know, when you're given a channel, so when you're channeling new information, which is what happened to me, you're also bringing forth new light. You know, you're absorbing and you're channeling light with the channel. So I absolutely experienced a profound shift, which felt like love. You know, love is not an emotion. That's a very popular saying in the metaphysical community. Love is not an emotion. Love is beyond emotions. So as I was receiving all this love light that was coming with the words in this book, because, of course, love, the words are just a delivery system for the love. So as I was receiving all this love light, I was getting all kinds of messages and all kinds of insights about everything that I could possibly think about. Wisdom, angelic wisdom, and the love light was coming to me about it. Like, for example, I remember I was just walking down a trail here in the backyard where I live, and it's all nature here. It's beautiful. And I noticed a little starling, which is a very common bird here in Newfoundland. So it was a starling. And it was just there, like, bouncing around the grass. And I heard the voice say, "Starlings are extremely intelligent birds." And not only did I hear those words, but I felt the truth, and I felt a profound energetic infusion of that. So it was just this deep love I had for that little starling in that moment. It was just profound. So that's just an example of receiving the love light. And this love light is for all of us. Right now, the angels are bringing love light to the collective, you know, not only to the earth plane, but to the collective consciousness. They are bringing new awareness. They are bringing the love light, which, of course, the love light contains the new codes that are coming forth to lighten our load of sorry nights and faulty flights and major overload. The new codes are the new laws, the new plans that are coming forth, the laws of love that we are being asked to receive and accept and absorb into our minds and live by them. Choose a new way of being. You know, the new codes mean that these are new ways of being, new ways of creating abundance in our life, new ways of experiencing health and of healing, you know, healing our health. We are being asked to release the old egoic ways to make room for the new laws of love. And this requires that we step up to the plate and we put it into practice, you know, that we're being asked to apply the new laws of love, not just to kind of say, okay, aha, but to actually apply them and see them at work.
Stephanie, when you talk about applying, one of the areas in our lives, of everybody's lives, is the area of forgiveness. What is it that the angels recommend we do? Because, you know, it's hard to let go for some people and to forgive and to really clear yourself of any resentment. So what is it that the angels have say about that, and how can we work on forgiveness?
Right. Well, forgiveness is a main theme of this book. I think that most of the poems, probably 75% of the poems, have forgiveness laced through the words. So forgiveness is all the way laced throughout the words of this book. And forgiveness, you know, the other thing, I just want to backtrack for a moment. The angels were giving me information that I already understood, and yet they were deepening my understanding, expanding my understanding. So, you know, I believe that we're going to be given information that we already have some level of understanding about. Because, you know, the angels told me that although they use me to their benefit and choose me to their benefit, this is also a collaboration. So they are working with me. I'm going to be guided, but it's also myself, if you know what I mean. I'm there like to convey a message, perhaps, and to help expand out that message. So in terms of forgiveness, there are several beautiful forgiveness tools. I'm actually just looking one up here now. I'm just going to read it to you. It's called How to Forgive. So this is a very practical tool for anyone that understands what forgiveness truly is, which, of course, forgiveness is about releasing and being willing to transform our own interpretation. Okay, so it's not like we're being asked to forgive an incident or a person, but we're really being asked to clear our interpretation of that incident or something that person may have done or said to us. We're really clearing our own interpretation. And when you really understand that, it's very empowering, because if you believe that somebody did something to you, then that immediately weakens you. That puts you in a weakened state. But when you understand that this really is about me, this is about me and my interpretation of the situation, then this gives you the power to clear that interpretation. And so this particular very short one stanza poem is called, How to Forgive. Release it to the beam, a direct tunnel to the love. Just pick it forth and with hands up, let it go with delight to the land of love to be transformed into the light. You'll feel it go into the pipe of light that is surrounding you now. It's easy when you realize how easy it is. And so that's a particular poem. It's really about taking the thought or taking the perception or taking the blockage that you may have, the emotion, you know, and taking it and being willing to release it. And this is really all about the metaphysics of forgiveness. I call it the metaphysics of forgiveness, because when you take a thought and you give it to spirit, I call it the Holy Spirit, because that's the language of A Course in Miracles. So when you take a thought and you give it to the Holy Spirit, what happens is the spirit takes that thought and he evaluates that thought. He removes the falsity from that thought, and then he gives it back to you purified. And so this is how we work with the higher mind to activate forgiveness in our mind. So does that make sense?
Well, yeah, we would need to clarify a little bit more, but I like when you said that it was easy, because, you know, that's what I have found, that If you have a issue with somebody and you choose to see things different, the issue immediately dissolves. And it's easy.
Right.
It's just like, okay, let's look at it some way different. And then you do that, it takes you, what, 3 seconds probably? That's
right.
How much effort you need to put on it. But when our minds come and analyze what you just did, it's like, it cannot be that easy. You know,
right.
You have to suffer. You have to really work on forgiveness. You need to pray and meditate. But the angels are telling us, no, stop with that. It's easy.
Right. It's easy when you realize how easy it is. And it's also easy when you realize, I should say, it's also easy when you prefer the joy that forgiveness brings over the grievance that holding on to, you know, a blockage or a resentment. You see, it's really about what is it that I want? Because that's, and you know, this brings up the point that we only hold on to a grievance because we want to hold on to a grievance, because it's giving us something. There's a value in it, you know, because when we're holding on to a grievance, we're actually stuck in things like anger and, you know, self-righteous indignation. And these things give us a hit. There's pleasure in anger. And so somewhere along the way, I know, like for myself, for example, somewhere along the way, I made the choice that I would rather experience the relief of love and of letting go than the righteous anger and the hit of being right, you know, and which really is, and which is part of suffering, of hanging on to the grievance. So it really comes down to wanting to forgive. We have to choose it, because some people find it very difficult to let go, but that's only because they're addicted to hanging on to the grievance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And many times you get back something that you don't realize that you are feeding that, because that negative attention that you're getting.
Right.
Well, I hate to say this, the word fun, but sometimes it's fun. It's like, oh, I'm going to say this, and the other person is going to say that, and I'm going to come back with this one, and oh my gosh, now he said that, and I have to go and think something worse to make that person suffer. So it's almost like this game that we play with ourselves, and then we hate the game, but we love the engagement, and it only takes ourselves to get you out of the equation.
Yes, yes, that's very well said. And, you know, the angels actually call that karma. The actual meaning for karma, in the book there's a piece called Karma, and the actual meaning of karma is to release yourself from the ups and downs of ego dynamics. That's the real definition of karma. It's about releasing ourselves from the hamster wheel, you know, or the ups and downs. So you have ego satisfaction followed by ego despair, right? You win one day, but you're going to lose the next. This is the dualistic nature of the world that we live in. You're up one day and down the next. You're in pleasure one moment and in pain the next. So, you know, the whole idea is to be willing to release yourself from the up and down nature of the karmic wheel, right? That this is the actual meaning of karma. And they say, the choice is yours, my beauty. We love you either way. You know, they have a sense of humor as well. The choice is yours. They love us either way. We can stay on that wheel for as long as we choose, but there is another choice. And it's there for the taking. And there is so much joy in the way of love and light than there is in the way of, you know, an ego win one moment followed by an ego despair the next.
And Stephanie, so we're talking about forgiveness and letting go and dissolving your karma. What about fear?
Right? So is that the question?
What about
so
fear? Because sometimes we are afraid of leaving all of this and resolving. We fear what we don't know. So how did the angels say that we can work with our fears?
Right, well, that's great. How did the angels say that we can work with our fears? Let me just be still for just a quick moment. Well, what comes to me is that it really comes down to choosing. You know, we have to be willing in that moment, okay, to experience the fear that we may be having in that moment, but to understand that fear is, you know, false evidence appearing real. It's not really real. It's an illusory state. And so I feel that awareness is key when we are choosing something other than fear. It's, you know, when we are experiencing fear, it's to first of all be aware that there's something other than fear. You know, we only ever have two choices. We can choose love or we can choose fear. And so knowing that there is something other than fear is the first step to freeing yourself from fear. And then, of course, the second part, like they keep saying, is pull back the curtains of your immediate thoughts. This is what we're being asked to do, to pull back the curtains of our immediate thoughts and let the love light in. And it really is as simple as that. It's not about analyzing the darkness. You know, there's a saying in A Course in Miracles that as long as you're analyzing the darkness, you're never going to find the light. It's really about sitting in the perceived darkness and having the courage to create a spaciousness in which something can change. Because that's my favorite definition of love. Love is the willingness to create a spaciousness in which something can change. You know, there's another metaphysical saying that you can only transform an emotion when you're in the emotion that you want to transform. And so experiencing a fear is not a bad thing, because it actually gives you an opportunity to transform that fear into love. Right? We have like this, and this journey is about being willing to expose the ego to the light. So it takes courage in that way. And then, so if you're triggered by someone, for example, it's not to distract ourselves from that reaction. It is to actually face it. You know, I was having lunch with a friend the other day, and I was sharing that I heard once that the buffalo actually stampede towards the storm. It's like they run towards the storm. It's like they want to experience that in order to free themselves from it. So it's the same way that be willing to face our fears, be willing to step into them, be willing to walk through the fire. You know, like Neil Donald Walsh used to say, what you look at disappears. So we have to be willing to look at our fears. Because the next time you experience a negative reaction, it's not going to have the same hook. If you were courageous enough to feel that fear, then the next time that fear, that reaction comes up, it's not going to have the same impact. It will have lessened its hold on you. And this is how we free ourselves, one by one, by one, by one, until eventually that fear will be meaningless. And sometimes it can happen very quickly, by the way. I talk about one by one, but it doesn't have to happen like that. We can free ourselves from a fear very, very quickly. Did you feel that was a...
Yeah, and I'm thinking because one of the things that when you read your book, it is said that this book is for light workers. So
yes.
Why do you think this is useful for light workers, or more
right.
enticing for people that are already in the light kind of thing?
Right. Yes, I felt, in the introduction or my message in the beginning of the book, which is the only part of the book that I wrote with my own personal message, I talked about some of my observations of the material, and that was one of the observations that I feel that this material, this book, is written primarily for those who are choosing to be a light unto the world in whichever way they are electing to do that. And there are many reasons I feel that, one of them being, I'm just going to read it to you, there's a stanza here in one of the first poems titled We the Angels of Heaven. And the stanza says, and this is coming from the angels, says, "You are here to save the world," said the shining light so near, too brilliant to ignore, too happy to despair. And then these two panes that come right after it from another poem says, "Ancient codes of wonder released unto you, releasing inhibitions to bring you forth your due. We, the mighty angels, are calling out your name to help you with the turmoil and step beyond the pain." So in these words, I feel that it's being shown to us that the angels are speaking to those who are perhaps experiencing some blockages in their life, and the back book cover where it says, "Falter not in this desperate state of tired and shaky stead." This book contains the new codes coming forth to lighten up your load of sorry nights and faulty flights and major overload. So my observation was that it is for light workers who are perhaps feeling challenged, and they know that they have something to do. They know they have a destiny. They know that they're here to be a light unto the world, but there's something that's standing in the way of them 100% fulfilling that purpose.
If people want to get hold of your book, Stephanie, what's the best way?
Best way to receive the book is on Amazon.com if you live in the U.S. and Amazon.ca if you're in Canada. I'm hearing very good feedback from different people that have ordered the book. Apparently, it's a very easy ordering process. They would be the best ways to receive the book. And I'm inviting everybody that's reading the book to leave a testimonial on either of those sites, because testimonials are a great way to get the word out there and share how you perhaps are being touched by these words and this journey. The other thing I wanted to mention is that I'm offering a book club starting January the 1st, 2018, and there are 100 poems in this book. And these poems are coming from different angels, by the way. It was told to me that the angels are called the guardians of light, and the mighty angels. They come to me as one. So there's a large group of angels that come as one. And so because there's different angels with different imprints and different, like, personalities, shall we say, there's all kinds of different writing styles in this book. So it's going to be a very interesting journey of enlightenment going through these poems in the book club. It's going to be starting on January the 1st. The book club is going to feature one poem every day. And the only thing, of course, you know, if you have your own book, that'll be great, but you don't necessarily have to have your own book, because I'm going to be posting a poem of day. So like from the first poem to the 100th poem, it's going to be it's going to be posted on the Facebook group. And so if you want more information on that, you can go to my website.
Which is StephanieFinn.com,
right? StephanieFinn.com, and that's STEFANIE, Finn, FINN.com. And you'll see it there, a book club. I think there's like 15 people so far signed up, and there's no cost. This is freely given. It's all free. So the only cost is to go in and click attend, and it's going to be an amazing journey. And I'm looking forward to the book club simply because I'm looking forward to getting other people's insights and perspectives on this material, you know, to really delve into the content of the forgiveness and health. Abundance. There were 5 poems given to me on abundance alone, and they are absolutely precious. They talk about what abundance actually is, as opposed to what we think it is. And did you want me to touch on that?
Yeah, that was my next question. So let's go.
Okay, that's great. We're in tune. So yes, abundance is a heaven-sent delight. Abundance is not about making money by working hard in this world. That's an old and stale idea rooted in the past, you know, the angels say. So we're being asked to open up and clear the channel that's directed to us now. Clear the channel of thoughts, of lack and lean, so that abundance can reach us on this day. This is kind of one part of what they're saying about abundance. Abundance is a heaven-sent delight. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that the angels are very clear that anything that we want can happen today. We don't have to wait until tomorrow. All that has to happen is that our faith is whole and perfect in that moment. I received a message several years ago from the angels who said that letting go creates a spaciousness so that the angels can work on our behalf. The only thing that's really required is that we let go and that we clear this channel that's directed to us, that we clear the channel of the thoughts of lack and lean and littleness. So that's a little bit about abundance.
So, but let's go back to that. So we need to let go the wanting and then that will happen? Or do we ask and that would happen? So what do we do?
Yes, so the thing is that we ask by feeling the wholeness and the joy of abundance. So we feel it. You know, we let ourselves feel it. And then it's like we have to feel it fully in order to receive it fully. And so, like the angel said, that the new law of love is to understand that what we hold in thought becomes our reality. So hold in thought, high scenes of your high self. And so hold in thought feelings of abundance, and of the, so banish any thoughts of lack and lean that come into your mind. And so it's really like watching your mind like a hawk. And as soon as you feel a fear or a belief in littleness come in, and, you know, we all know when we're experiencing these fears and these beliefs in littleness and lack, as soon as you experience and you feel that coming in, it's like nip it off in the bud, extract it like a splinter, remove it from your mind. This will get much easier when practiced over time. I'm quoting now the angels from the book. Yeah, so it's like we have to work with these principles. It's not just about believing in them and then kind of going on back to our life of littleness and our beliefs in littleness. It's about taking a stand and working with these principles so that our so that we're retraining our mind to think with love, to think with abundance, to think rich, and because as soon as we do that, what we're going to notice is that, you know, that the channel is then open and we're going to be experiencing money show up in our lives. It's going to come to drench our here and now. It's going to delight us. A couple of the stanzas in one of the poems says, very practically it says, when your bank account tells you that you have no money now, instead of interfering, go to God somehow. This takes light and courage, but it can be done. Watch how. You'll find your way to oneness. You'll do it. Yes, you can. And as you shift from fear to love, a miracle will land. When the miracle on the outside, when the miracle on the inside reflects the one without, you will happily know, and there will be no doubt. So banish all your thoughts of fear and lack and lean, and money will infill your life. It's coming now. It's here. So these are, you know, practical tools.
Yeah, and you know, I like that even when our monkey minds go back to what we don't want, we can just go and look for the right poem just to put it on our minds, because that's what pretty much we're doing. We are substituting some thoughts for others. Once we can just call dark thoughts, they are not really dark, but dark thoughts, and bring the light and just substitute them. And again, it just takes that second of your time.
Absolutely. It sure does. And you have to want it. Spirit said to me one time, change what you want and see something different. Right? Everything is contingent on what we want. You know, A Course in Miracles teaches that. When we're going through the mind training of A Course in Miracles, it teaches that it's all about what we want. If we want to change what we're seeing, we have to change what we want. And, of course, it's like, you know, what is it I want here? Now, I've asked myself that question many times. What is it I want here? Do I want love or do I want conflict? Because if I'm experiencing littleness, you know, the belief in lack and lean and littleness, then something inside of me prefers the conflict. And so it's to ask myself, what is it I, you know, what is it I want? Right? That's so contingent. When I really understood that, I really felt that was a big shift. It really catapulted me into a new state when I realized that my life was really a mirror of what I wanted.
Let's help people with that, Stephanie, because I guess when you were saying that, I am just hearing all these people around my life and probably myself too in some moments in your life where you ask yourself, what is it that I want? What is, like, in terms of work or in terms of a profession or in terms of whatever, it's like, what is it that I like? What is it that I don't like? What is it that I want? It's, sometimes we don't even ask ourselves that.
Right.
So how do you get what you want? Or how do you find what you
want. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand. I think, you know, the first thing that's coming to me is that the soul knows what it wants, right? And so it's about, because sometimes in life, we don't know what we want. I spent most of my life not knowing who I was or what I wanted. I was so confused and on an emotional roller coaster that I had no idea what I wanted. I thought I knew in moments, you know, but that was always up and down and all around. There was no real solidity in it. But I understand now that even those dark times in my life were really bringing me, you know, pain pushes us to light. And so during all those years, it was like my soul was shimmering brightly outside of all of that. And my soul always knew what it wanted. And something that I've often said is that we are either moving towards our destiny or away from it. And so when we're doing the forgiveness work on ourselves and we're doing the transformational work and we're, you know, we're reaching high for the truth about who we really are, we are moving towards our destiny. And good things are going to happen. And I'll use my own, you know, story as an example. I was, you know, before this book came, before the angels came, I say, I was, you know, I had done a lot of purification. I had been doing mind training of A Course in Miracles. I have been, you know, somewhat deeply committed for a long time. And I used to get up every morning and I was giving my mind up to God. You know, I could feel myself opening my mind to Source, to be used as a channel for love, to be used as an instrument for peace. So in those moments, I was moving towards my destiny. Now, I never knew what anything was going to look like. I was just in those moments, you know, sincerely giving it up to God. And then, of course, these angels came and began to give me this divine writing assignment. So, in other words, you know, I guess in those times I was moving towards my destiny. So in terms of knowing, wanting to know and not knowing what you're doing or what your function is and what your purpose is and trying to get some clarity on that, I would say to understand that your soul knows exactly what your function is. And your only real responsibility is to reach out to that light, to reach out. You don't have to know what that's going to look like, because I can almost guarantee that it will look completely different than what we think it's going to look like. All we really have to do is, you know, maintain that state of innocence, aspire to that state of grace, give our mind up to the higher power, and not just kind of do it lip service, but to actually do it. You know, in other words, to pull back the curtains of our thoughts, to pull back the curtains of how we think it's going to look like and our control, and to become an instrument that spirit can use. And we will be used, I can guarantee it. We can have what it is that we purely want. We truly can. All we have to do is ask and then get out of the way and let it come through. And I think the most important part, the most essential step, is the getting out of the way. It's not easy to do. The angel said to me one time, they said, just keep letting go. They said, many of the emotions that you're releasing right now are deeply embedded emotions. And they said, we know that it's not easy to let go. So they said, just keep doing it every day. Do the best you can in letting go. Did they understand that? But we are being called to step up to the plate in our application of these principles, not just to understand them on an intellectual level. You know, we're really being asked to step up to it and to apply our faith, to truly let go, to actually let go, to experience what that feels like to let go. Because that's what's going to create the difference in our lives. When we choose love over fear, you know, when we choose love over judgment, for example, these are the ways that we work with our thoughts every day of our lives. So, you know, the next time you feel a stab of judgment, and I know it's happened for me, like I feel a judgment and then I immediately go to something like that. The Course says, for example, I immediately go to dream of your brother's kindnesses instead of dwelling in your dreams and their mistakes. right? So I immediately go to, I focus on the light in that individual rather than the darkness. You see, so it requires work. It requires an internal shift. And I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it's almost, when you think about it, it's like you wonder why our minds and our humanity has this ability to criticize and to doubt and to fear and to hold growth. Because it's almost that's, I know it's not your nature, but it's almost like it's your nature to be that way. And we're always fighting against that. And we are asked not to hold into that, but it keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And it makes you wonder, is it ever going to be, always going to be like this? Are things really changing? Are we really getting into a new place where all of this will dissolve and the future generations will not have to go through this again and again and again in this appearing endless journey of the soul?
Right. Yes, and sometimes it feels like it's endless and it's hopeless. And then in the next moment, you feel this, the bliss of transformation. You feel the bliss of letting go. And you understand that when you experience that shift from fear to love, you are affecting the whole sonship. You are affecting the whole collective every time we experience and choose love over fear. That love goes out like a firecracker in the night, and it touches the whole collective. It blesses every brother on this planet and beyond. And so this is the work that we're being called to do. You know, as light workers, this is what we're being called to do. We're really being called to change our own thoughts. Like Gary Renard says, that this world is going to experience peace when the people of this world experience inner peace. And sometimes when I experience love and when I choose love in that moment, which is a lot lately, by the way, I feel it affect the whole collective. I feel that feeling of profound oneness. You know, so it's not just a thought, a nice thought. It's an actual experience. Because I actually heard from the angels yesterday that when you release a frustration, you release it for the whole collective.
Mm-hmm.
No? So it is just so worth it. And our whole family is however many billion people are on this planet. 7 billion, I think it is.
Nice. Yeah, somewhere around there.
So your family is 7 billion people. Our family is not limited to just our biological family. When we think of ourselves as just part of our biological family, we've actually placed a limit on our mind. We are part of a family that is so vast. And when we can change our minds to see, you know, to perceive ourselves as part of that, what a gift and what a blessing.
Yeah, and then that takes you to the concept of the oneness, right? And of God and angels and Jesus and all of these beings of light that are mentioned. And it makes you wonder, how does the oneness work? What is your role in this oneness? Where do you fit? Are they the same? Are they different? Are the names that we use to call them just for our own, just so it's easier for our minds to understand, or are they one and just
right.
One? So
right.
What have they said about that, about God, oneness, and a better way for us to understand that mystery?
Right. Yeah, you mean the mystery of the oneness and like there's the idea of separation and then there's the truth of oneness. Yeah, well, I feel just from you and I having this conversation that like when we speak of Jesus and the angels, for example, that came to me, which are still a mystery to me, by the way, in many ways, and all the different beings of love and light are all part of the oneness. And so all of us are different facets of the same diamond. And that's the way I perceive it. We are all different facets of the exact same diamond. And the more we allow the idea of oneness and love light and truth to enter our mind and to touch our mind, the more we wake up to the truth of oneness. I was given a poem called something about a diamond. You know, your life is like a diamond. I'm going to read it to you if we have time. I don't even know how we're doing on time.
We are always perfect in time, so yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to read this and maybe we can open this up for a little discussion or whatever. So it says, your life is like a diamond. Turn in and see it now. The colors in the corners, a pinpoint into now. We cannot know this glory from tired and weary eyes. What takes us back to oneness that's only found inside? But how, you ask, do I invite the presence of the light? By wanting it more than this fight for rigid, thin control. But oh, if you could only see the power of letting go. The diamond mind, it will arouse your senses inner true of love and light, an intense fire of propagating hues. This new life of wonder, I do not have a clue. Yet somewhere in my mind, I know I've given it to you. Of this I will not falter, for I can only gain your love and peace and exquisite ease that comes from letting go. And all it took was that little choice in all those moments when I subsided and opened to your loveliness afoot. I feel it now, oh, the sweet flight of surrendering to the light.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, no, it brings, I now understand now why the angels used poetry. It's a different way of delivering the love. The poetry is a delivery system for love. And it hits you in a different way. Like my daughter mentioned, she said, the thing about poetry, she said, and she's like one of these speed readers, you know, like if she's reading a book, she'll read the first paragraph and then the last paragraph. And, you know, she's like a speed reader. And she said, when she was reading some of these poems, she said, the thing about poetry is that you can't skip it. Like every word counts. You have to read every word. And poetry doesn't waste any words. And it's a different delivery system. And by the way, you know, for anyone that's listening, I'm not a poet. I've never written poetry before in my life, and I've never even really gotten into poetry. I was never even really open to poetry. As a matter of fact, in the introduction to my book, I mentioned that I'm very something akin to Lily Tomlin's character in the Grace and Frankie TV series, who said that she didn't even really like poetry and she just as soon read her divorce papers. Like poetry was really not a big thing to me, and I sat down and wrote 100 poems in 5 days.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's just that poems, for me, they are infinite in the way you can interpret each one of them, and each word it's a metaphor of the huge amount of information. So yeah, your daughter is right. You have to read each word, and then each word in itself is a universe. So
right.
Yeah, and kudos to those poems. You did a good work, a good job doing that. Let's remind people about the book club that you're starting, and what other things are you doing to get the word out? Are you doing workshops, anything that you want to let the people know?
Yes, well, you know, as the angels mentioned to me, my only job is to bask in the love, do the work on myself. They said that right now this was about healing any fears with love. They said that they will address anything that I, you know, they will answer any questions that I have. And they said my only job is to absorb the truth into my mind and accept it, because the highest form of healing is to hear a truth. And so they said they will supply me with the highest truth, and it's up to me to, you know, absorb it and let it heal my mind. So this is really the journey that I'm on right now. They also said that all my opportunities were going to come to me. And they have been coming to me very gently, very gracefully, very naturally. Like I did a two-day spiritual retreat 3 weeks ago, called the Body, Mind, and Spirit Retreat, where I spoke about the angels for 6.5 hours straight. I answered up to about 75 questions, and I just basically sat there with love light on my face and just made room for the angels. And they also said that to me. They said, like, your only real job is to sit there with love light on your face and listen, you know, listen for our answer. Yield to the love light. I'm getting different opportunities to speak to different people in groups, you know, group sessions. I feel that the book itself is going to be used a lot for workshops, and I'm open to whatever comes to me in terms of the opportunities that come to me. I'm wide open. The angels have been giving me information. I was just going to say that they've been giving me information about my future. I haven't been sharing that a lot because I'm going to wait until that starts coming to fruition before I start, you know, sharing about that. But they've given me specific information about, you know, events that are going to unfold in the near future, about my path, my journey. They said that they will bring me to the latitude. They said I'm going to be fully supported on my path. You know, I'm going to be abundantly supported, and you know, opportunities are just going to come out of left field.
Wow. So you're traveling a lot.
Yeah,
well,
they mentioned travel.
Well, I hope to see you down here. Well,
yeah, I hope
yeah,
so,
when
too.
You said latitude, I thought of traveling and speaking opportunities.
Yes, that's what they said.
And
yeah, they even said you're going to know exactly when to book the flight. So that means a flight. And, you know, and they're giving me specific information. And I just want to mention this as well about guidance itself. You know, our spiritual guidance, our mighty angels, our guardian angels that we all have. Each one of us have a guardian angel. Our, you know, guidance can be very specific. And a couple of mornings ago, they said to me, just follow the guidance and do exactly as it's asking you. So this, you know, I feel that this is global as well. In other words, when you receive an insight and a nudge, don't ignore it. And you will know that it's right and that it's real and that it's true and that it feels right. You know, for me, it's all about how it makes me feel. We can trust in our guidance. And our guidance is given to us so that we actually do what's being asked of us. I just wanted to mention that.
And I think it's a beautiful way to finish today's broadcast. And again, Stephanie, the doors on Fair with You are always open for you. So this is an ongoing invitation for the angels to come back and to channel through you in this way when they feel it's appropriate.
Thank you so much, Claudia. And I also want to say to you that I think that you're in the midst of your destiny. You know, you have answered the call for your destiny. What you're doing is part of your destiny. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and to say that you do it with such grace and ease and love. I want to thank you for that.
Thank you as well. And thank you for saying that. And I do believe this is part of what I am meant to do, because I really enjoy it. And
yes.
I always feel, Stephanie, that even though it might seem that it is only you and I here, I can feel the immensity of the creation as part of all of these podcasts that I'm part of. And I feel so honored to have you here and to share you with you this hour. But I know that it's going to go places and get and reach those hearts that need the light, the love lighting.
Yes, very well, well done. and thank you so much.
Well, you have a beautiful weekend. And
thank you, and
again,
you as well.
Whatever you need from me, let me know. Whatever comes your way, announce it on Charlotte View, and I will promote and share. Have a beautiful weekend. Everybody, please share, and contact Stephanie Finn. Get into her Facebook. Get into the workshop that she's doing. The club, the book club is free. What a beautiful way to bring the angels to your home. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye and send everybody the love light. That's Stephanie.
Thank you. And lots of love light.